Welcome to What the World Needs Now. It's our Healing Day of Prayer, and we invite you to join us to call in and give us your prayer requests. God's Word goes forth out into the world and does the work it was sent to do, to bring health and healing, to bring courage and strength when we're struggling. So sit back and enjoy this hour of power, of conversation and prayer.
Good afternoon. Welcome to In His Sign Catholic Radio. I'm Grace Marquet, and it's a pleasure. It's always a pleasure to be with you on this, our Friday, Healing Day of Prayer. The day that we take your prayer intentions and we pray for those special things that are near and dear to your hearts, and we place them in the heart of Jesus Christ. Now, I'm really looking forward to today's program because in our Catholic faith, today was such a profound, memorable day in the life of the Blessed Mother, a day that God the Father chose for her. So we will ask Mary to also intercede for your intentions today. Now, when we think of the paintings, the images that we have seen of Mary over the years, well, many of them you're familiar with. You see Mary as the mother of Jesus. Many painters, many artists have painted the Madonna with child. You've seen the angel Gabriel, paintings of her, the angel Gabriel appearing to Mary and carrying the message from God the Father, asking Mary to be the mother of the Savior of the world. You're familiar with seeing the paintings of Mary at the foot of the cross, grieving, watching her son die a brutal death. And who is not moved when viewing the statue of the Pietà by Michelangelo? The body of Christ is lying across Mary's lap, and she is holding him. There is also a magnificent painting, The Assumption of the Blessed Virgin into Heaven. Murillo painted that, and he is one of my favorites. Now, there is one painting that you may or may not have seen of Mary, and that is today's memorial, the presentation of Mary, who was 3 years of age, in the temple in Jerusalem. Now, usually when I'm going to show you a picture, I will wait a little bit and then I'll show you the picture. But not today. I'm too eager to show you this. This picture next to me here, this picture, here it is. This is the painting of Mary being presented in the temple in Jerusalem. Is this beautiful? Is this wonderful? That little child kneeling there on the steps of the temple, wearing a beautiful little white dress with that blue sash around her. Her hands are folded in prayer. And behind her, you see her mother, Anne, her father, Joachim. And at the top of the steps, you see the high priest with arms stretched, waiting to receive her for her consecration. Be consecrated to God. This is just so beautiful. Now, I'm going to have more to say about this memorial today and the significance of Mary's presentation in the temple in our life of faith. But first, we're going to begin with prayer. I'm going to put this right here. There. Put this here. I hope you can see that. She's so tiny in there, isn't she? Isn't that beautiful? I just love this painting of Mary. So, we will begin with prayer, and then we'll get to your prayer intentions, because that is what we are all about today, your prayer intentions. Every third Friday of the month, we pray for your intentions. So we pray in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Father, we rejoice as we look, as we ponder over the significance of this day in our salvation history. Father, in the first book of the Bible, you told Satan that the seed of a woman would crush Satan's head. And Father, you fulfilled that promise when you chose the young woman, Mary, to crush the head of the serpent. She gave birth to Jesus, the Savior of the world. And Father, you saw to it that every step of the way that Mary be prepared for what was to come from her immaculate conception and birth to her love, her thirst of the scriptures. She loved the scriptures even in her childhood. To her goodness, to the love that she showed her friends, respect for her elders, her obedience to her mother, Anne, and her father, Joachim, to her motherly strength that the apostles would seek and find comfort in her. Lord, we see that Mary's mother, Anne, was unable to conceive a child for a long time, and that was very shameful back in those times. She would be ridiculed from that, and that was sad. That was so sad. She wanted a child so much. And Father, no one knows your designs. No one knows your timing. No one knows your perfect plan. And yes, you brought forth the child Mary after many years passed in Anne's life. And Father, you show us the depth of the appreciation that Anne and Joachim had for all that you did for them. And they surrendered their only child at the age of 3 to go to the temple, to be instructed on a journey of life, to be instructed in a journey of faith, preparing young Mary for her marriage to Joseph, preparing her for a divine motherhood, mother of our Redeemer, Jesus Christ. And Father, we thank you for giving Mary to us as mother of us all. How often we turn to her, and Father, you knew we would. The depth of your sensitive heart, Father, is overwhelming. You knew that we needed a spiritual mother. You also knew that Mary's presentation in the temple at the age of 3 was key in preparing her for her joys, her sorrows, her childlike interactions, her disappointments, her victories, the pain of the terrible loss of her son on the cross, and ultimately, her joyous reunion with her son and with you, Father, in the kingdom. So, Father, we go from a 3-year-old's first day in the temple to her glorious assumption in heaven. Amen. Amen and alleluia. Thank you, Father. I have some phone numbers here. 610-527-2906. 888-343-2484. That's 610-527-2906. 888-343-2484. Now, for those of you who may have just tuned in, you know, sometimes that happens. You're a minute or so late. Well, before I move on with our prayer intentions, one more time, I'm going to show you what we're all about today. I'm going to show you the painting of our theme, the presentation of Mary in the temple. She's only 3 years old here, only 3 years old. This precious child in the temple, surrendering her life to God, the presentation in the temple. Little Mary, 3 years old, hands folded. In fact, you could look, you could see an aura. It's an aura over her head, often a sign of holiness. And she certainly was holy, immaculately holy, her immaculate conception. So I'm going to leave this here. Now you know, you're all caught up. Huh? You know what we're doing here, okay? So what we're going to do now is I have some prayer intentions. I think they're right here. We will pray for these because that's what we do on the third Friday of the month. This is our Friday day of prayer. Friday day of prayer. And as I said, we have them right here. And then we'll go on after these. We'll go on to more on the presentation of Mary in the temple. Okay, we have here a prayer. It was submitted from Angie. Angie's a member of the St. Vincent de Paul Society. And it says here that her brother died recently. And Angie and her brother were very, very close. So it's a sad time, Angie, in your life. And recently, her niece, Kathy, was diagnosed with ALS. A difficult disease. They are giving her tests, and Angie wanted to be with her for these tests. Angie also was going to live with her, to be there for her. God bless you, Angie. You are grieving your brother with this terrible loss. And you were so close. And then to hear the diagnosis of your niece on top of that, coming down with ALS, extremely difficult. And you know this is a terrible disease. So we pray for your niece, Kathy. We intercede to the healing heart of Jesus, and we pray for a cure for Kathy. And Angie, there are no words for you in your grief to take on the responsibility of your niece. And your niece will be so blessed by your presence with her. You are taking on the corporal and spiritual works of mercy, and you have so much to offer, Kathy. So, Angie, we pray for you to have the strength in body and spirit to minister to her as you desire. And you have an added gift. You belong to the St. Vincent de Paul Society. So you will have friends there for you. I pray for you. May the strength of the Blessed Mother carry you as she carried her son. Amen. Amen. Beautiful woman to do that. On our last program, we prayed for the mother of Father Elias. Father Elias is a Franciscan friar of the Immaculate up there in Vermont. His mother's name was Grace. She was 91 and she had a terrible fall. The fall was very threatening to her and she did pass. So I'd like to say a prayer for her, for Grace now, and also for Angie's brother who's deceased, and my dear cousin Joan. Yesterday was the second anniversary of my cousin's passing. We were so close growing up. We had so much fun. We used to fight and we used to play. We did it all. And when my sisters recently passed, my dear sister Rita and Dolores, they both passed 3 months apart. And I was really grieving. It was a very sad time in my life. And this one day, I was going back to my house, and I got to the door, and as I looked, there was a package there. And I said, well, I didn't order anything. I didn't really know what it was about, but I went in the house with it. And when I opened it, it was the most beautiful statue of Saint Rita, and it was from my cousin Joan. I tell you, I cried my eyes out, but it brought me joy. It lifted my spirits because our whole family is devoted to St. Rita. Just lifted me. Just lifted me. So, Joan, we're thinking of you today. In fact, to think you're probably with my sisters, with St. Rita. You're in good company. Huh? So we pray for all of them. And we pray for the Holy Souls. This is the month of the Holy Souls, November. And we pray eternal rest grant unto them, O Lord, and let perpetual light shine upon them. May their souls and the souls of the faithful departed, through the mercy of God, rest in peace. Amen and amen. Let's see, we also have, we have Dan. Dan has a squamous cancer of the eyelid. Squamous, I hope I'm pronouncing that right. Squamous cancer of the eyelid. Dan, I don't know if you've seen a doctor. I'm praying that you have. And I'm sure you know, Dan, stay out of the sun. Avoid using those tanning beds. They're not good. All of that shiny, burning down on you, on your bodies, and now your eyelid. And there are, I understand, many different ways of treating what you have, but only your doctor can lead you in the proper direction. So we're going to pray for you. We're going to pray for you because I know any form of cancer is always a concern, isn't it? I pray that the healing hands of Jesus touch your eyes. Touch your eyes. Of course, such power in those hands of Jesus. And bring you peace and relief. And ultimately, that your eyes be completely, completely healed. We're praying for you, Dan. We're going to continue praying for you. Our listening audience who participate in these prayers with me. I always ask them to join me in prayer for our brothers and sisters. Things happen when we all pray together. And we're praying for you, Dan. That's so beautiful. And I ask you, Dan, to keep us posted. Let us know how you are progressing here, okay? Let us know. We have here, a while back, if you remember, we were praying for a child, a newborn who just had a heart transplant. Her name was Paisley. We prayed for her. And for a while there, she was doing very well. She was enjoying her brother, and it was wonderful. But now I have here, in fact, I just got this today. This just about an hour ago, I got this. It's an email, and it said that over the last month, Paisley has fought a double ear infection. And when that was over, she started getting more and more sick, upsetting. She's weak, pale, not hungry. And let's see, we thought it was a stomach bug. She started did act a little better. And she was back to her normal self on Monday. But then she became weak and couldn't stay awake. She could barely drink and wanted to sleep. Her pediatrician said that Paisley was probably fighting a virus. Also has teeth coming. But they knew something was wrong. They went to the ER, multiple tests, blood work. Her hemoglobin was at 3. They admitted her right away, ran tests. Her antibodies were high. So they were iffy about giving her blood. Just continuing to get worse. This little child was in the CVICU unit yesterday. Her breathing became harder. Her oxygen still wasn't the best overnight. So they switched her to a high flow, and now she's on 10L. Her hemoglobin is up a little to a 7. She's a little more pink, but still sleepy and irritable. The doctors have no idea how and why all this happened. And many tests are still waiting to come back. Now, a friend of theirs who sent this, who was a nurse, she said it sounds to her like she is bleeding internally somewhere. I hope the doctors can get to the bottom of this quickly. So we continue to pray for Paisley. You sweet little thing. Pictures of her, so adorable. She was eating, and we have pictures of her eating with those scrambled eggs in her plate, and those scrambled eggs were all over the place. So we're praying for Paisley. We pray to our Blessed Mother, her as a child in the temple, surrendering her life to God. Mary, intercede for this little baby. You know what it means to feel as she's feeling as right now. We pray for total healing for her. And also another part of this was Mary. She had cancer. Mary, she had cancer. She was not doing well. She was swelling up, and they really didn't expect her to live. They took out her ovaries. They took out a few things in her body. Now, the word is that she's doing well. She's doing well, and the cancer has completely disappeared. So that is remarkable. That is remarkable. Brian has stomach problems. He has Crohn's disease. He has esophagus problems. His intestines are blocked. Brian, anyone who has had even a minor situation with the intestines, the stomach, the esophagus issues, they are so tuned in, Brian, to what you're saying here. This is beyond difficult. Just the Crohn's disease and the intestines being blocked would be enough to cause you the suffering that I'm sure you are experiencing. the countless doctor's appointments, the medications, the tests you have to take, the foods you can eat, the foods you can't eat, things you can do, things you cannot do. Brian, in my heart, I deeply feel for you. I know many people out there have parts or maybe all of what you're experiencing right now. I know you're under a doctor's care, and we are going to pray for you. Lord, this is so much that Brian is trying to handle. It must also affect his relationships. Lord, this must bring Brian up a lot of pain, a lot of sadness. So we ask, Lord, that you give Brian's medical team the wisdom to know how to help him, to give him relief. Lord, nothing is impossible to you, and we pray for Brian's healing. See, we have Danny, his Aunt B was asking for prayer. He was in depression, can't eat any food. He was smoking, now he's gone back to smoking. He had stopped going back. We prayed for Danny in the past. His aunt said he was doing well for a while. Now it seems he has reverted. And often in counseling, when he's counseling with a therapist, it's done over a telephone. I'm not a therapist, but possibly he should be in the presence of the therapist when being treated. And possibly there may be a spiritual connection here. We don't know. I know his aunt is very spiritual, and maybe Danny should see a priest who is also a therapist. They are out there. Priests also have degrees in these things. And they are out there, and they often get amazing results. So we pray for you, Danny. It's been a long time you've been like this. You are too special to be suffering in this depressed state. So I suggest you see a priest in therapy. Since your other therapy sessions do not appear to be working, you've been at them a long time. I just pray for Danny. Lord, lead him to the right direction. Lead him to the right person. Amen and amen. And I pray especially for all the retreatants who have spent this week at Kathleen McCarthy's Illumina Christi retreat at the Malvern Retreat House. The retreat ended this morning. They were there a week. And I know that many healings have occurred there. Kathleen has often said that the Illumina Christi retreat is the most powerful retreat that she gives. And it was open to men and women. And the stories from the retreatments are always inspiring and profound. Kathleen did this retreat with Father Dermot Roche. Father Dermot Roche. She's done this with him every year. And usually at this time. And they get so much out of this. And the Lord uses Kathleen incredibly in healing gifts. Touches many, many people. Touches many people. Let's see, we have, these just came in. Kelly, for injuries sustained at work. Kelly, I hope you've gone to the right people for this. I hope you're okay. I hope the injuries aren't severe. And I pray you know, we say be sure you have a lawyer, because sometimes if your injuries are very bad, there can also be very heavy-duty medical expenses. So we're praying for you, though. We're praying that your injuries are not bad and that you heal quickly, and get back to work. Get back to work and watch those things you do at work that not happen again. Some of these places are not properly situated. Things are in the way. You trip over them. But we're praying for you, Kelly. For Erica and members of her family, for their well-being, and that they each have a closer walk with our Lord. Well, that's a very unselfish request. Members of her family, for their well-being, and they each have a closer walk with our Lord. I agree with you, Erica. We pray for you and your whole family that all of that happens with you. And especially during this season of Thanksgiving, we thank God for all that he's going to do in that request for you. Now, let's see what we have here. I think we should look. Let's look at how this all evolved, okay? With how Mary at the age of 3, was taken to the temple in Jerusalem, consecrated by the high priest, and spent her life in the service of God. Now Anne, St. Anne, the mother of Mary, she was born in Bethlehem, the same town as her grandson, Jesus. Same town as her grandson. Anne married Joachim. He was a shepherd from Nazareth, and he supplied the temple with sheep for the sacrifices they would have there. Well, after 20 years of marriage, they had no children. And Joachim, seeing the suffering of Anne, he went out into the desert. He fasted and he prayed that God would give them a child. And Anne prayed, wondering why she was born. Sad, so sad, because people, you know, were ridiculing her for not having a baby. That's terrible. Well, an angel came to them separately, came to Joachim in the desert, came to Anne in her home, and she told them they would be given a child, and they were to name the child Mary and dedicate her to God. Well, Anne and Joachim had a joyous reunion at the Golden Gate of Jerusalem. They knew it was going to be so, and God did keep his promise. Anne bore a child, and when Mary was approximately 3 years of age, Anne and Joachim, so thankful for what God did for them, they fulfilled God's request, and they presented Mary in the temple to live within the walls of the temple, live within the walls of the temple in service to God. Now, my friends, this may sound unusual to us, huh? Well, it was not an uncommon practice in their day. In fact, the Father James McGovern, he wrote a book about the presentation of Mary in the temple, and he called it Light from the Altar. And what he says here is, as I read it, I'm going to put the picture up again as I read this. Okay, I'm going to put the picture up again. Okay, he says, picture a little maiden, robed in white, her hands joined and her face uplifted, ascending a flight of stairs. A venerable Jewish priest stands with wide open arms. He welcomes this little child. And behind little Mary, her parents, Anne and Joachim, they offer up to God their most precious treasure. My friends, other little ones beckon lovingly to Mary as she arrives. There were other children there. And right now we're going to take a break, okay? I have more to say about this whole thing and its significance for us. I'm going to take a little break. Come back. I have a lot more to say about this. Love you. Come back.
This is Linda Purcell. I listen to In His Sign Catholic Radio every chance I get. Kathleen convicts me with the words of our Lord. Kathleen lives in his love, and for me, just the opportunity to listen to her is my road to Emmaus. My heart is burning for our Lord Jesus. I am set on fire each time I tune in to In His Sign Catholic Radio. Why don't you give it a try, too?
You're listening to In His Sign Catholic Radio, empowered by the Holy Spirit, bringing the fire of God's love to the world. We often think of the scripture where the disciples were walking to Emmaus, where they said, "Were not our hearts burning within us as Jesus spoke to us on the road?" As we travel along the road together in our Archdiocese of Philadelphia and Camden Diocese, we thank God for our loyal circle of family and friends. Please consider sponsoring one of our new programs in the name of your parish priest, family member, or friend. It would be a beautiful way of helping us to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ, our risen Lord. give us a call at 610-527-2906 or visit us on the web at inhissign.com.
Now, Father McGovern, he further says that since Jewish children were sometimes brought up in the temple, who so likely as Anne's sinless child, Mary? Since some little ones chose God's house for their home, who so likely as the spiritual vessel of Jesus, Mary? Since some children dedicated themselves body and soul from their earliest years, how much more than the future Mother of God? And so painters and artists from early times have loved to depict the scene of Mary's presentation in the temple. There are numerous paintings of Mary's presentation. And my friends, I chose this one. I just fell in love with this little child, all by herself, basically, about to approach, see, up the steps to the high priest there, leaving her parents behind there. It was hard for me to accept this, hard for me to see, look at that picture in a way and see what's happening. But anyway, this actually was a great honor. It was a great honor for what they did going to the temple, the children. Well, what did they do there? First of all, Mary lived with other little girls. They were taught and cared for by pious women in the temple. Mary was very happy there. And Father McGovern, he said, what did they do there? There were duties to be done. Cleaning the vessels, trimming the lamps, needlework, mending, embroidering the elaborate vestments. Can you imagine doing that? Those of you out there who embroider, ladies, men, those vestments were elaborate. Special instruction and prayer. The rich treasury of the Old Testament. The Old Testament. It's full of deep meaning to us, but far more to Mary. The woman foretold, the chosen woman, was explained there in the Old Testament that Mary was studying. And large portions of that Mary committed to memory. Committed to memory. Now, you've heard of the mystic, Blessed Anne Catherine Emmerich. Tremendous gifts that she had. Very prophetic in speaking of Mary's presentation in the temple. She was an extraordinary mystic. In fact, Father Donald Calloway, he wrote the book Consecration to St. Joseph. He quoted different mystics and saints. He had great respect for Blessed Catherine Emmerich. He quoted her throughout his book. Catherine Emmerich, who was up for canonization, also was credited with the finding of Mary's house in Ephesus, Turkey. She was a nun from Germany, and she was very ill. Yet she described where Mary's house was. And she said they would find it. And they did 70 years later. If you recall, John on the cross, Jesus gave Mary to John, John to Mary. They went to Ephesus. They went to Ephesus, and John built a house of stone for her in the mountains of Turkey. I personally have a connection with Mary's house in Turkey because I've been to Turkey 5 times. Blessing to be there, the house of Mary. It was a privilege singing in that house. There was a woman who had a vision there, and I had put together a song. The words of her, put together the words that she had spoken about the vision. And it was through that the people from Vermont had gone there and were familiar with all this, as was Archbishop Bernardini, who was the archbishop there, very much a part. He was very much a part of that. He recently passed away. Both of his parents are up for canonization. And I always felt that when the Lord took him, he'd be the third one in the family. And not too long ago, he did pass away. Now, why did I say all this? I said it to show you the validity of Blessed Catherine Emmerich's words. What does she say about Mary in the temple? She said Mary possessed an unceasing longing for redemption in anticipation of the promised Messiah. She said that Mary would rise each night from bed in prayer, often praying to become the lowliest maidservant of the mother of the Redeemer. Mary read the scripture. She knows a promised woman would come and bear the Messiah. She knew it from the book of Genesis when God the Father, as I said to Satan, a seed, the seed of a woman would come and crush her head. She knew all that. And yet she prayed, Mary prayed to be the lowliest maidservant of the mother of the Redeemer. She had no idea that she was the chosen one. She would be the mother of the Redeemer. Such humility. She really wanted to be the maidservant, not knowing she was it. She was it. And Catherine Emmerich said, the Blessed Virgin's significance cannot have been unknown to the priests in the temple. Her humility, her grace, her wisdom, her intelligence were so remarkable from her childhood in the temple onwards. She said, I saw aged holy priests filling great scrolls with writings about Mary. My friends, isn't that awesome? That is awesome. The whole interaction that you see there with Catherine Emmerich and Mary and what she was able to see. That is so beautiful. Now, the story of Anne and Joachim resembles something. The Old Testament account of Hannah, who was barren. Hannah was barren like Anne. She was ridiculed and shamed like Anne. She prayed and begged God to have a child. So did Anne. She later gave birth to the child Samuel, a great prophet. The Lord gave Anne and Joachim Mary, gave Hannah Samuel. Now, the presentation of Mary in the temple reminds us of Hannah's willingness to offer Samuel back to God, as Anne and Joachim offered Mary, their child, back to God. Now, as the child Mary studied scripture, more than likely the story of Hannah and Samuel was known to Mary, for Mary would later make Hannah's prayer her own prayer in the Magnificat. Isn't that beautiful? Mary prayed the Magnificat when she visited her cousin Elizabeth in the New Testament and rejoiced that she was bearing in her womb the child Jesus. So she knew, Mary knew Hannah's prayer. I love that. Now, when we look at one of the readings for today's memorial, today's Mass, the memorial, Mary's presentation in the temple, the Magnificat is the reading for that memorial Mass. It is the reading, it says here that Mary spoke, and she said in the Magnificat, My soul doth magnify the Lord, my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he that is mighty hath done great things for me, and holy is his name. And his mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation. For behold, all generations shall call me blessed. And we do. She is our blessed mother. Now, there are many musical compositions of Mary's Magnificat, and they are all so beautiful. Well, in my heart, I wanted to put music to that beautiful prayer. I wanted to do that because that's what I was doing, singing, giving concerts, writing music. But which version, as I sat down to write this, which scriptural version do I want to use? I decided to use the King James Version. Why? Because I wanted to show the universality of the Mother of God. She is in all forms of Christian scripture for all to see. I wanted to acknowledge her presence in our salvation history, as the woman chosen by the Father from the first book of the Bible, the book of Genesis. He would choose a seed. The Father would choose the seed of a woman who would crush the head of the serpent, chosen by the Father. Now, I recorded it on CD. I recorded the song. The Magnificat is the reading for today in the memorial. And our producer and engineer is going to play it for you on my CD. And I'm playing it for you because it is the reading for today. The Magnificat of Mary.
Oh.
takes me a little while to get out of that. What a blessing. What a blessing. You know, it's funny, as I'm sitting here, I happen to look up and I saw a little something here. If I could find it as I was looking at it there. Let's see here. Oh, another thing that this Father James McGovern had said, you know, here we're speaking at, thinking of Mary as a little child here, you know, little child being presented in the temple for her consecration. And then in the song, the hymn you just heard, we here she is with child. She's singing this, she's saying this to Elizabeth, her cousin Elizabeth. You know, glorious, so glorious, from this little child to the mother of Jesus Christ, our Savior. So, so beautiful. And I just want to read this little part because it's kind of special. It says, and I'll hold this again while I do this. It's important to see her as I'm saying this. This is what he also said. He said, think of Mary with the sacred scroll in her little hands. Think of her eager face, listening to instruction, like a spiritual sponge absorbing teachings. Think of her with a needle in her little fingers, working for the needs of the priesthood. Think of Mary handling with reverence the sacred vessels. Beautiful, beautiful. He just gives you those, when you see her so little, you just, he gives you those moments to really look at her and realize that. If you see the little aura there on her head, did I mention that? The aura of holiness on her head, you see that? That is just so beautiful. So beautiful. See people gathering here behind her, gathering probably there to see her have this wonderful consecration. And you see the arms outstretched, the outstretched arms of the high priest there, eager to receive her. This is wonderful. And as Catherine Emmerich said, those priests there had to know this was someone very special. They wrote, aged priests had all kinds of scrolls written about her. It's unbelievable. So now, this whole background of Mary, this whole background being presented in the temple that I've been saying here today. Well, where did it come from? The story of the life of Anne and Joachim finds its origin in the apocryphal work, the Proto-Evangelium of James. The Feast of the Presentation of Mary in the Temple was instituted first into the Eastern Church as early as the 2nd century. That early, the 2nd century. Very early times. And it was raised as a festival for 400 years before being introduced into the West. So the Eastern Church celebrated it first, and they still celebrate it. And then we found it in the West. Now, according to texts written by a Father Rahner, he points to a priest. His name is Father Francis Turian. And Father Francis Turian, he was visiting Cyprus. And he saw this feast observed. He saw these people. They were so excited. It was a great festival. He was impressed. He said, what is this? What is happening here? Where did this all come from? So somebody told him, this is the Feast of Mary's Presentation in the Temple. Well, he wanted to learn. Father Turian wanted to learn all about this, all about Mary's presentation in the temple. So what he did was, in many learned essays, he studied the circumstances of the Blessed Virgin's stay in the temple. And those essays eventually were given to Pope Sixtus. Well, the Pope studied these essays. He investigated them thoroughly. And he decreed that a festival with great pomp and devotion be piously observed and take its place among the other festivals of the Blessed Virgin Mary. And he made this festival of the Presentation a festival of the universal church. Hallelujah. No longer in Cyprus or a few little places. It was all over the universal church. And he also decreed that no one should take it away. Because you see, in earlier centuries, they tried to remove it from the calendar there, remove it. And it was removed for a little while. But when he saw that, no one is to take this away. He was writing it down that no one should do that. Wow. Don't you just love Pope Sixtus for doing that? Mm-mm. It's still here all these years from the second century. That is just remarkable. That is just remarkable. And you know, there are some, I have some things here, which just happened as an aside, but I just wanted you to know here, you know, Mary knew that her parents had vowed to offer her to God. She knew at a young age that they vowed to return her to God. See? So on her own accord, she asked them to take her there. So it wasn't like they were just an appreciation to what God did, which they were, and gave her like, oh my goodness, she's going to go away. No, she knew what was happening. She went and asked them to take her there. Isn't that amazing? And saints and doctors of the church, like Saint Jerome, Saint Bonaventure, they wrote of Mary in the temple. And they said Mary regulated her life with fervent prayer and work. She was profoundly humble and perfect in every virtue. He said, no one ever saw her angry. These are writings from the doctors and saints of the church. It's just amazing. Saint Alphonsus Liguori said that Mary attained perfection, get this, sooner than all the saints by giving herself promptly to God, without delay, and entirely without reserve. So she attained perfection sooner than all the saints. Hence, from the first moment of her existence, she began to love God with all her strength and gave herself wholly to Him. Wholly to Him. My friends, today is November 21st. And another reason that I thought I would throw this in about Ephesus, Turkey, the woman who had the vision of Our Lady, and as I said, Archbishop Bernardine was in all of this here. She was the mother of my friends who had the shrine in Vermont. The House of Mary is exactly like her house in Turkey, exactly. And that's in Jamaica, Vermont, okay? And I say it today in honor of the Tarinellis, Mary and Don Tarinelli. He's deceased now. But it was Mary's mother who had that vision of Mary, her mother. And today is the day that her mother passed away, on the feast of the presentation of Mary in the temple. Isn't that beautiful? I've become dear friends with Tarinellis. That's how I got to Turkey 5 times. Now, the Feast of the Presentation of the Temple on this day. My friends, do you notice something? This is just a few short days from the beginning of Advent. Think of this. Mary began her preparation at the age of 3 on her life's spiritual journey with her complete surrender to God on this occasion. Advent to us marks a beginning. It marks our preparation for the coming of our Savior, Jesus Christ, at Christmas. Now, as Mary prayed and learned from the prophetic readings in Scripture for the coming of the greatest moment in her life, she is the perfect example for us to imitate and learn from her as we prepare for the greatest moment in our lives, welcoming and receiving the baby Jesus as our Savior in our being, in our hearts. Do you know that today there are orders of priests and orders of sisters who celebrate the World Day of Cloistered Life in honoring Mary, in recognizing and in practicing in their own lives the journey that Mary journeyed in her life? What an incredible tribute to the Mother of God. So today, my friends, it's invaluable. in all of our lives, not just Mary, in Mary in all of our lives, as we imitate that little three-year-old child, Mary, in surrendering our lives to God. Surrendering to God. I thank you for being with us today, being with me. I was very excited about doing this today, and I'm glad you were there to be able to hear it. As I was preparing it, I was just so excited with all these little tidbits we find. We hear generally the presentation of Mary in the temple, and we don't think much more about it. We don't know the depth of what's going on here and how it has affected us in our lives and in our preparation to surrender our lives to God. So remember that as you're preparing in Advent for the coming of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Thank you. Thank you, Mary. Thank you, Anne and Joachim. God bless you. Thank you.